April 18, 2019. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Marat Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqif Uddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives, and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So we will begin with a short dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, I had an opportunity to visit a friend in the hospital, Sister Bonnie. She's gravely ill. We asked the believers, all of you out there, to say a short prayer, a dua for her, that God will have mercy on us and bless us. So the rich have money because of the poor supporting them. The Quran Surah 19, poor have rights to your wealth. The people he was teaching were not educated people, and if he told them, whoever learns a little bit, he is obligated to pass that little bit into another ignorant person. So we are supposed to be our brother's keeper. If you can understand it in that high fashion, let me show it to you in the plain, ordinary sense of the word, of holding or protecting your brother in the world. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, told his followers, help your brother, whether he is in the wrong or the right. And they asked him, dear messenger of God, prayers and the peace be upon you, how is it that we should help our brother when he is in the wrong? He said, hold him back from wrong. So we must understand that our religion is not like that religion that says you are not responsible for the behavior of your brother. You are. And in another place, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, a Muslim is the mirror for his brother. A mirror will show you your defects. If you look at it, if you turn toward the mirror, it is going to show you that which is crooked, wrong. So your face is dirty. It's going to show you. If you have an ugly expression on your face, that mirror is not going to make you look like a sweet dandelion or something. That mirror is going to show you just like you are, looking. And if the mirror does not show you the way you are looking, the mirror is wrong. It is warped. But if it is a straight mirror, it shows you just what you are. It only reports what it sees, and it reports it correctly. So we must understand that. Shouldn't the strong assist the weak? Let us not be any longer victims of this society that synthesizes morally to ignore the weak amongst us, thinking you can't be responsible for the weak. Everybody has to make it for themselves. Anytime you accept that, you are accepting the law of the jungle, survival of the fittest. We don't buy that. Western society brought that, survival of the fittest. And believe me, most of their rulers over us now, that is their law, survival of the fittest. And they say, hell, let's throw this out there into society. The ones who will be the ones fit, the ones that it destroyed, they were not fit to survive. They go by the process of elimination. What do they call it in science? natural selection. And it means selection by adaptation, and those who cannot adapt, they are destroyed. So I say the strong should assist the weak. The weak, they assist the strong. So it is justice. That's the strong assist, assisting the weak. How have the strong gotten to be strong? Didn't they get strong with the help of the weak? Weren't they born from mother and father? They had to struggle. Many of them did not have education. They had to struggle to put the boy up in school. Then he gets strong. Doesn't he have a debt to the weak? The Western world does it. Oh, it's scientific advancements to Prophet Muhammad, President, peace be upon him. Unlettered community, didn't it get its start back into the sciences on the backs of the Muslims who represented an uneducated society? So how can they not knowing that and ignore the ignorant masses and say that the survival of the fittest? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, didn't say the survival of the fittest. He made Arabia fit. And before they were all ignorant, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim here, pardon me, the Muslim, he is the keeper, protector of his brother. And he must love for his brother what he loves for himself. And Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, no true believer can rest well at night knowing his neighbor, pardon me, is going to bed hungry. Excuse me. Our hearts must die to the open up invitation that we have in this world to sin, and only then will we be able to open up our hearts and open up ourselves to the invitation to live an upright life. So language, speech, not for individuals, but community. So the Quran Surah 51, Ayah 23, sign, you have intelligent speech. Then by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, this is the very truth, as much as the fact that ye can speak intelligently to each other. The Quran says, can't you see signs in the faith that God has enabled you to communicate with each other intelligently? That is a sign that God don't want you to live as an individual. He has made it possible for you to communicate with each other intelligently as long as we don't apply the rule of sense to our discourse or our communication. We are not going to be united. So how can we unite with the Christians if the Christians are going to approach us or respond to us from emotional experiences? We can't come together. But because we have good Christian representative leadership here who are able to respond from something higher up the range of human evolution and then emotionalism, we have some unity here today, and we represent some collective leadership. This is the blessing. And God says that he has put it in us, the ability to express ourselves intelligently, and made it possible for us to communicate by intelligence or with intelligent expression so that we can become one. So self, eternal, divided, no communication within. So how come I can remain one with myself? Don't you know, once I lose intelligent communication within myself, myself becomes divided against itself? When my moral nature can't communicate and make sense with my rational nature, then I have a war between my rational makeup. and my moral makeup. So in order to have my own individual kingdom and peaceful order, I have to be able to communicate or to relate intelligently, inwardly, between my different forces that are working in my being. The forces of intelligence, the forces of passion, the forces of morality, all of these forces are working in this one kingdom. And if I don't give them the language of intelligence, because God has not given us verbal language that enables us to unite in that right, is that right? So the Chinese speaks Chinese. I can talk to him. I haven't learned Chinese, but he's intelligent. And I'm intelligent. We can overcome the barriers of Chinese and English. Is that right? And we'll begin to grow into a new language of communication in time. But it takes intelligence. Seven heaven, two arrows, one bow. The Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 2 to 11. Muhammad, Ascension and Seven Heavens. Bukhari, Volume 1, 345, Prophet, Seven Heavens. Bukhari, 1, 345, Prophet, Seven Heavens. 1, Adam. 2, Jesus. 3, Joseph. 4, Idris. 5, Aaron. 6, Moses. 7, Abraham. Prophets steeped in community human development. So the prophet represents steps in community or social human development. We have Adam, Noah, and many prophets, but we go from Adam to Abraham. Prophets in scripture representing movement in society. So the Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 7 to 16, prophet ascension rate. Prophets are Jews, Christians in heaven. God said, oh, believing believers, meaning God wants us to know there are believers in heaven, Christians, Jews, Muslims. And he saw our prophets, the heavens, and prophets said he saw Christians and Jews in the heavens, care about self and others. If you don't share, care anything of the human life within me, God sooner or later causes you to not to care about the human life in yourself. That will be your punishment. The Quran advance other religions. The Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 7 to 17. Majah, Muhammad, Ascension. The Quran, Surah 23, Ayat 51 to 52. Prophet, One Brotherhood. Bukhari, page 4, 429, Heaven, Seven Prophets. So Christian theology, their religion itself is to advance by al-Islam, by the Quran and Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him. They have only been able to advance because of God's revealing the Quran and putting Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the world as the leader. Whether they are Jews, Christians, or any others, Muhammad is their leader. So when God took Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, up into the heavens and showed him the leaders in the past, beginning with Adam, he greeted them all as his brothers, because prophets belong to the same fraternity, for what of a better word, the same order of messengers, prophets of God. So he ascended this order from Adam and Jesus Christ, Joseph, Yusuf, Idris, Aaron, and Moses, and Abraham. So Muhammad is the Imam, leader of the prophets. Prophethood progressed and evolved to Muhammad. So he greeted each of them as brothers, except for Adam and Abraham. He greeted them fathers. This is in Judaism and in Christianity. So we know the first father is Adam, and the second father is Abraham. After greeting them, what did he do? He led them in prayer. So who is their imam? Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is their imam. So their leader, what is that to tell us? God was evolving and progressing prophethood and revelation so it becomes complete for all the needs of mankind. And who was the last in that? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. So who should be the leader of the rest? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. If God sent messengers one behind another to make contributions to advancing his way, to contribute to the advancement or forward the advancement of his way, then the last one to finish the job, he is the one that has it all. Those before him only had part. So Tawheed, finger pointing, meaning as had a finger-pointing meaning. The Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 7 to 11, Prophet on the Highest Horizon. Then it goes on to say that he did meet God on the far horizon. It did not say he saw God, but he said he met him on the far horizon, and it was as two arrows were fired from one bow going parallel, like I do my fingers when I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. In the end of my prayers, I follow some of the spiritual teaching in al-Islam. I then say, Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, meaning from his firm conviction, united senses goes out his spirit as the messenger of God, going out to do his work in the world. So where is he going? He's going into the center for all mankind, the Kaaba. He's going there, bringing all mankind with him, all the races and nationalities, all the people with their different interests and pursuits, bringing them to their original origin, their original nativity, bringing them there to witness their pure origins, that God created them, for them, a place that will make them one if they all acknowledge that they will become one. If they acknowledge their pure origin, Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, spirit was pure, and his intentions remained pure. So it gave direction to his spirit and took his spirit to his original origin, pure origin. God raised him up from that place, Kaaba, up into the heavens and took him on a journey to the far mosque, Al-Aqsa, in Jerusalem. After that, he went to Medina and established the Ummah, the community of Al-Islam, Muslims in Al-Islam. So the Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 9, distant to bow length. Distant to bow length. Man, material as bow, and spirit as two arrows. So we believe in the inherent will. We believe that God created man, material, substance, as a bow, and his spirit as an arrow. And his material substance, one day, will get tired of suffering and going to the wrong way. And his own material matter is going to pull back the strain, the spirit, and fire a desire out as an arrow. It's going to show you how to go home. So Indians fired arrows. You know, the Indians, they used to fire an arrow to tell the rest of them where they're going. The chief or the one appointed would take an arrow and shoot the arrow as far as he could in the direction they were supposed to go in. And all of them saw where the arrow went, and they would go right in that direction. I guess when they get to that point, he would fire it again, keeping them going where they're supposed to go. So two arrows, human spirit and spirit of God. So the one bow, it doesn't just fire one arrow. The bow fires 2 arrows, but they are going to one aim, one destination. What are those 2 arrows? The human spirit that God created us with, and the spirit of God in us. God did not create us with a human spirit without his spirit also being there. So this is why the human spirit is so powerful. God is always there with it, always present. And that is the power in your human spirit. It is God. The power in your human spirit is Almighty God. He's there. It's waiting on you to accept the better part of your own self and love and want to respect the better part of your own self. So once you accept your better life and you want to respect it, God comes into the spirit with you. He's you. And your effort is not just your effort. Your effort is also divine effort. Your effort is God's effort. So that's why in our holy book it says there was seen firing in a direction, one direction going to the same objectives or to the same aim. 2 arrows fired from the one and the same bow, meaning that man strains inside to take his life forward. And that straining is like pulling back the bow. And it fires his will and spirit. It fires it out. But when it fires, it is not only his will and spirit. It is also God's will. And if we can wake up to believe that and accept that, we will never feel helpless ever again. How can we feel helpless or helpless if we believe what that is saying? That God has created us, but have not created us to be alone. He created us to have a will as human, and that will is so powerful, it can defeat the world. But God will not leave that will to battle the world by itself. His will is right there with you, working with you to see you succeed. God's will. The Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 2 to 11, Muhammad ascended in 7 heavens. It didn't say Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him saw God, but it said that they went parallel as 2 arrows shot from the one bow, going to the destiny or to the target or to the aim. Who is that? God and Muhammad, excellent, going parallel, together, in perfect harmony, reconciled. His excellence reconciled with the will and spirit of God. And they're going as 2 arrows. Arrows is only symbolic of spirit, energy forces, going to one point or to one destination, having one and the same aim. And they meet in the far horizon. This is Quran. So arrows, symbolic of spirit, energy, forces. It didn't say Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him saw God, but it said that they were parallel as 2 arrows shot from one bow, going to the destiny or to the target, to them, the aim. Who is that? God and Muhammad, excellent, going parallel, together, in perfect harmony, reconciled. His excellence reconciled with the will and the spirit of God. And they are going as one, as 2 arrows. Arrows is only symbolic of spirit, energy, forces, going to one point or to one destination, having one and the same aim. And they meet in the far horizon. This is Quran. So the same 2 spirits, are in our people, in every people, but they don't manifest so strongly. It depends upon the pressure, the condition that piles on you, whether these spirits will really become forceful spirits in us. So these 2 arrows were fired by the pressures and denial of our excellence in this world. They were fired They were fired way back there in the days of slavery. And as slavery was pushed out of the way, they continued to seek excellence, God with us. So what am I saying to you? God has been with us before we knew Al-Islam. God was with us before we called ourselves Muslims. God was with us. It's the same God, the same help, and the same everything. And we cannot stop now. The Quran, Surah 54, Ayah 17. Quran, easy to understand. So the Quran reads, memorize it, like seeds and time. You'll understand. Mind like earth, takes time to develop what comes into it. So read the Quran. Learn it. Commit small chapters to memory. Read it and commit small chapters to memory. Read the book over and over again. Don't just read it in the month of Ramadan. Read it weekly, daily, if you can, so that you can memorize more of the book and become better acquainted with the book. You will say, much of it, I do not understand. That's okay. Much of what you soak in from the TV, you don't understand. But you soak it in anyway because you like it. This is the better and the safer. So this is pure and perfect for you. Soak it in because you like it. You don't have to understand it all. So when you put a seed in the ground, does it come forth immediately? The ground can't deal with it immediately. The ground has to wait for the right season. And then the nourishment has to come gradually to the seed. And in time, the seed bursts forth, shows what was hidden under the cover of the seed. Is that right? A corn plant, an oak tree, an olive tree, a tomato vine. Is that right? All right. So do you think your mind is any different from the earth? That everything goes into your mind. You must understand it and get everything in as soon as it goes into your mind. No. But don't reject things. Let it come into your mind. And it will grow. And when the right environment comes along, the right season comes along, you may be too cold for it right now. You might have to warm up a little. Sometimes the season is too wet. Too much water hurts too. So when the right condition comes, the life that is there will come out. So don't be afraid of knowledge. Don't be afraid of the Quran. Read it, study it, commit it to memory if you can. The more you take on, the more you will read. Al-Rahman has mercy in it. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1-4. Allah taught the Quran and created man. Al-Rahman has mercy in it. Why does it have mercy in it? Because it comes from the root word Rahima, meaning mercy. So Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim comes from that root, mercy. One is mercy given. As a Quran, Al-Rahman, Alima Quran, Kalika insan. Alima Quran, Alima Hubayin. As the surah, Al-Rahman explained. So the human being created for a second time. The merciful God taught the Quran, Kalika insan, created the human being for a second time. The human being was already created. He created him like he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, the earth, and everything. But now he is going to create again. Al-Rahman, Alima Quran, translated, he taught the Quran. And it looks like it is backwards. He created man. Someone might say, no, he created man and then revealed and then taught to him the Quran. No. The understanding is not there. The merciful God, he taught the Quran to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, Khalifa in sand and created the human person. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was already created, perfect human being, for the first time. They knew no wrong on him. He was truthful, honest, and he was called Al-Sadiq, the truthful, and El-Amin, the trustworthy one, the honest. He was not needing any moral preference. He had moral perfection. So Muhammad was amongst the Hanifa, upright person. He was an upright, honorable person before he knew anything about religion. He didn't know anything about religion as we know it. He knew human nature, and he was amongst the people of Saudi Arabia who believed that they should be the best in their human makeup, that they should live the best that is possible for them in their own human makeup. That is called Hanif. And he was of the Hanifat, the plural form of the word. The Hanifat was people who prided themselves in being the best of their human makeup. That is the kind of person he was. And God chose him to be the last prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, his servant and messenger and mercy to all the world. So God is talking about him when he says, Al-Rahman al-Alama Quran, the merciful God taught the Quran, Khalaqa insan and created the human person. This is the second creation. I can give you plenty of evidence for this. So much evidence that nobody can argue with me. I'm telling you, we'll make yourself crazy. Look stupid trying to argue with it, because I can bring the whole Quran and Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, life to support what I say. No one is challenging me. And those of the immigrant community who secretly try to keep help from coming to us and to get you to go to them, they themselves, when they meet me, they give me the utmost respect. And they really love me too, but still work to undermine what I'm doing, because they love their work more than they love me. They love what they're doing than they love me. So the Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1 to 4, Allah taught the Quran and created man. The Quran, Surah 17, Ayat 79, Tawir prayer, raise you to a station. So the human being created for a second time. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 3, Allah created the human being. Khalika insan created the human being for a second time. The human being was already created the first time. Like God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth, and everything. But now he is going to create man again. Someone might say, no, he created man and then revealed, and then taught him the Quran. No, the understanding is not there. The merciful God, he taught the Quran to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, Khalika insan, and created the human person. Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was already created a perfect human being for the first time. His people knew no wrong on him. He was truthful, honest, and he was called Al-Sadiq, the truthful, and El-Amin, the trustworthy one, the honest. He was not needing any moral perfect. He had moral perfection. So Muhammad was amongst the Hanifas, upright persons. He was an upright and honorable person before he knew anything about religion. He knew human nature. And he was amongst those people of Saudi Arabia who believed that they should be the best in their human makeup, that they should live the best that is possible for them in their own human makeup. He was of the Hanifat, the plural form of the word Hanif. God is talking about him when he says, Al-Rahman Al-Quran. The merciful God taught the Quran, Khalika, insan, and created the human person. This is the second creation. So Tawir, Tahajjud prayer brings special rewards. Tawir prayer raises you to a station. So you can work hard for God's guidance even 24 hours and sleep and wake up at night because thoughts also concentrating on it. And it is so clear what you can find with the subconscious resting form of the burden of the activity. The subconscious is still working, bringing something you have to get up and write it down. It is too important not to write it down. And we are given to tahajjud prayer. And in Ramadan, tawir prayer, to break your sleep and wake up in the middle of your sleep. That is a special prayer that brings special rewards. Everybody has this same, some say, they are asleep, but something will wake them up. And they say, I don't want to miss this. And they will turn the lamp on. And they will write it down. So this is nature. That occurs in, occurs, pardon me. This is nature that occurs in people. It is telling us, you have that, but you owe God for that. He is the giver of that. So we are going to establish a prayer. It is not a must, but you should pray. Make two rakas, tahajjud, to two mercies, man's creation, and Quran. The natural creation of man and then the creation of man by God's revelation created him anew. He sees the whole universe in a new light. He sees his purpose on earth in a new light. That is the second purpose, the second gift of God's mercy. So if it's from the social relationship, social ties, that birth man's consciousness to reform his life, the social life pressures by the material life, demands are from the material side. It demands on us. And its trouble eventually makes us appreciate the social life. And then we establish a social life and have the social life as a sacred life, the material life supporting the social life. But Al-Fatiha, I translate it, I am not perfect. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So we are lost to materialism. But the same God who gave us materialism for the good services and give us good leaders for the material interest, the same God will save us from death in materialism and give us a rested portion of his mercy. Pardon me, a second portion of his mercy. So he redeems us. Redeem means to bring back something that was lost, to get back something that was lost, the Bible. The baby beautiful behavior is unlearned. So the Quran Surah 30, Ayah 30. So this is of your nature. This where you are constituted as a soul and a psyche. So you are constituted to have your own natural life, unconscious behavior, and it is good until you let influences make it bad. The proof of it is every baby is born with an uneducated behavior. Look how beautiful that behavior is, ready to obey mama and papa and become a fine member of the family, even though it's been the son or the daughter of the most horrific criminal ever existed upon this earth. There is no proof that the baby is going to be any criminal when it is born. That is what the system of criminology established for the Western world. At one time, there's a difference, and they were convinced for a short period of time to believe that criminal traits was inherent, and they were thinking about sterilizing criminals, but it didn't last long. They finally proved that position is incorrect. So the Quran created man. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1. Allah taught the Quran and created man. Bukhari, page 147. Seven girls with birth her mistress. So Easter says east of east is not west. It has to come another time. Only east comes with Jesus Christ. He is a way to get to the West. So he comes as a new life, new birth, new creation, in its original nature created by God. He says when he wants a servant, he creates one from amongst those he already created. And then explanation comes in Surah Rahman that Allah taught the Quran and created the humanity. It says in the Quranic, Arabic, Al-Lamu Quran Khalika Insan, translated, he taught the Quran and created the human person from those who were already existing. Muhammad the Prophet, present and peace be upon him, is the one who is referring to directly. He didn't know revelation, scripture, but God revealed it to him and then taught him. It says, we shall teach you, make you know and understand revelation by of the teacher. There are many references, not only one, that says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to teach him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ease his way, ease his difficulty, take the burden off of him and teach him. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, he gives in his own words, a hadith. He points to a time that is thought to be, end of time by the scholars and ad-deen. The time, he says, the sign will be that the servant girl will give birth to her child for her mistress. So we know that's Hagar. May God be pleased, may God's peace be upon her. She bore a child for Abraham and Sarah. Was her mistress, and she was the handmaiden or servant girl. And she bore a child for Sarah and Abraham. And he became prophet and is taught to be the father of Arab Ishmael. Then the prophet said some of the signs of the time were that the servant girl will have birth a child for her mistress. Now, he is saying the sign is in the time, but that had already happened before him with his ancestor Ishmael. Another sign, he said, will be that the average common person will be competing with the big people in construction of skyscrapers, tall buildings reaching up to the sky. These sayings, according to the teachings of the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, are to be understood in two ways. They are to be accepted just as they are, given. That is really going to happen. I have lived to see African Americans trying to compete with the big rich people of Chicago, building high buildings that John F. Johnson, he built, or I think, it was brought, and he put jet on it. And I don't think ebony was produced by them then. And you pass by that right now, down on Michigan Avenue, you can see Jet Magazine. It is not as tall as the other building, but it's down there competing. And I'm sure he didn't know that saying of the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon them, but these things come to pass. We have to take them literally, but also if God blesses us with understanding, we ought to know there is also an alluded to language that is not expressed. He said it is an alluded to. So what is alluded to is competing with those who have high knowledge. It is not only the material construction, but also competing with those who have higher knowledge. We don't know that Quran revealed it to us. The most important construction is not the material construction. It is the linguistic or language construction. It says, he laid the foundation of the house. It is talking about the Kaaba, but what is the more appealing, more revealing, or the more enlightening concept? It is not that little physical structure we call looking at. The Quranic Arabic term for the construction is kawi. And the term for constructing sentences with correct grammar is the same word, kawi. It's a logic for sentence construction. So this high understanding is not understanding that we get from looking at a material thing, manifest or material, but from looking at the construction of revelation on how language is constructed. The building comes from blocks, material that we find on the earth, or we make blocks out of material we find in the earth. And we form a building. It doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from somewhere. Likewise, it is for God's revelation. It doesn't come from nothing. It comes from a prophet and from something that is already in the earth. Revelation began with the naturals, as God made it with, which is earth, creation. This is made to support our material life. And it is a sign of revelation that supports our spiritual life and our whole life. All this is continuation of what came before in the Bible. It is nothing new. The Quran taught man. The Quran taught made man. The Quran, Surah 55, Ayat 1 and 4. Allah taught the Quran. Genesis 2, 5, and 7, man formed of the ground. Genesis 5, 2, he called them Adam. So where was his body? I can understand if he didn't have a body, no woman was going to be there. So then he called the rain cloud, the rain to come down from the heavens and wet the earth. And after the earth was wet, it must have been dry and dusty. It must have been too loose to hold together. So when the rain came down and wet it, then he formed the man. And after he formed the man, he formed the woman of the rib of the man. Right? So that is Genesis. And God says of his creation that he made, I'm not giving this to you to hold on to this as God. This is research. The God is the book you have with you, the Quran. Although this is guidance in the Bible too, but that is not for us to hold up as guidance. We hold the Quran up as guidance. So God says he made Adam and that he made him, and God says that he made them. This is directed the second report on the creation. He made him and he called them, not one person, he called them Adam in a day that he created them. That is Genesis. So Genesis is clearly telling us Adam is not a creation of one person, that Adam is a prototype of all the people that God made originally, had the same nature, the same human design or composition. They are the original human type. So you are the best evolved for humanity. You are the best community evolved for man. Then Muhammad the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him. Come after Jesus Christ, pointing to the same truth that the Christian mystified too much to understand. Here comes Prophet Muhammad prayers and the peace be upon him with plain, clear language. And he says, you are the best community. Did you hear it, brothers? I said, you are. I know it says Kuntum, but I think I know Arabic better than you. For the Quran, you can say Kuntum. It means yesterday, today, and always. So you are in Adam before now, and you are in yourself now. And in the future, you will be that. This is timeless. This is a timeless creation, a timeless reality. It was in the beginning, and it is now, and it will be in the future as it was in the beginning. No change comes over it. It is timeless. And just as God produced the first one and that type, he produced the second one anytime he pleases. So he created Adam and he created Jesus and he created Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. He created the Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Yes, he did. The Quran says, Al-Rahman Alima Quran, Khalika Insan, translated the beneficent, merciful God. He taught the Quran to who? To Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, Khalika Insan. Translated, he created the human person. Who? Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Created him anew with a powerful intellect, a powerful compassion, a powerful quality of character. He infused the word of God in there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angel, now when I have inspired him of myself, or my own spirit bow down, make sajda to him. So the angels didn't bow to Adam when he was just a human. But when God put his own spirit into Adam, the angels bowed down to him. The spirit comes with the word. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the word from himself into Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, the angels made sajda to Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Quran Surah 2, Ayah 30, I'm making a khalifa in the earth. Now let us put it in our language. What is this ummah? What is special about this ummah that God says he evolved? It is not the ummah that is instantly made in a factory someplace on somebody's desk doing research or something. No, this is the best community evolved. It has been coming forth for thousands of years, for more than thousands of years, for thousands of generations it has been coming forth, even when the man was nothing but a sperm, before life was even a sperm. But the presence of life was in the earth. It was not a sperm yet. This community was coming, evolving out of nature and nature properties given by the God who laid nature. It is evolving. It evolved during the time of the first generation, during the time of the first man who tried to stand up erect and tried to be human and tried to ask his family to be human and wanted his neighbors to be human by each other. Way back there, millions of years ago, it was evolving. Now God has revealed it to you so you can take the responsibility in your own hands and establish this nation, this community life that is inherent. This is evolving with human life over a long period of time. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I am making man, not let us make man. Khalifa refers to the individual. Khalifa refers to government rulership. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is making a khalifa, he said to the angels, inni, surely I am naked. He did not say, let us make man. No, in the Quran, this is in the Bible, he said, in Quranic Arabic, inni ja'alun sil'ati khalifatin, translated, surely I am making or forming upon the earth a khalifa. That is not an individual person. It is a social order that will be trusted to humans, intelligent and human decency. So when God said that the angels were frightened, they said, what will you create other than something that will cause bloodshed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know what you know not. God is the best knower. I know my creation better than you know it. Certainly these human beings, they have limits. They have limitations and human defects. But my word is going to attract the best of them because my word appeals to the best that's in my creation. And it is going to draw out the best that is in them. So Satan fear God tell man to disbelieve. Iblis was a jinn. Jinn and men created to worship Allah. So Satan seeing that he understood that if the angels didn't, and he said, none will be spared, but your special one that you choose, meaning I'm going to get the masses of them, the majority of them, I'm going to mess them up. I'm going to bring out their weaknesses and show you that this was a mistake. This is Satan talking to God, talking to his Lord. Someone may say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the Lord of Satan. And wasn't Satan a jinn? And before he rebelled, and aren't the jinn a creation of God? And don't the jinn say to God, my Lord? Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. We pray to Allah that you have gotten something out of what we have taught this evening. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. We will continue this next Wednesday at 7 p.m. and next Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.